Hey everybody, I'm Sean Hamm with PremierGuitar.com. We're here at Riverside Casino with Rick Nielsen.
Yeah.
Backstage. Rick.
Hello, Nielsen.
How's it going, man?
Good.
We want to see your guitars and maybe hear them.
Well, there they are. Take a look. This is the Jeff Beck Esquire. And Jeff loaned it to me. This is a beauty. I love it. It plays great. And it's beat up, and so am I.
How long ago did he loan you that?
I'm not going to mention it because I don't want him to come and take it back. Okay, this next one, I had this made for me when we did Sgt. Pepper. It's called Uncle Pepper. And Hamer made it, and Shannon did the airbrushing on this. This is all airbrushed. And
what pickup is in there?
It's a humbucker. It's just one simple thing on the back 40 years ago for the Beatles. Sgt. Pepper commemorating that. And there's actually a second one of these that was made that we're donating in Liverpool for the Liverpool Children's Hospital.
You pretty much...
Sounds great. I use this on the flame every night. And this one, this is just yellow, but it's got a whammy bar on it. So the few songs that I use with a whammy bar. I wish it weren't so complicated, but... But when I need a whammy bar, I don't like it to go out of tune.
Yeah. You mean when you say complicated, you're talking about having to clip off the ball ends for the Floyd and stuff?
Rocky over here takes care of my guitars, but I haven't tuned a guitar in over 30 years, so I wouldn't know. But it is complicated. If I break a string and he's not there, I'm screwed, and the audience is screwed, and the vibrato guitar people are screwed. So we don't want that to happen now, do we? Okay, this is called Disco Dick. This is actually the drum finish from the Bunny Carlos signature kit. And we got, I sent the actual drum laminate and sent it to Hamer, and they made this for me. I
think that's a laminate from Ludwig, right?
Yeah, Ludwig Mother of Pearl or whatever they call the finish.
Tom has a bass that has that on it too, right?
Yeah, and it's like... We look like ZZ Top without beards when we come out there. And see, this one, this is the one that was made after the things blew up in Ottawa. Because my other one is at Rick's Picks.
The one that's pictured on the inset of Dream Police?
Dream Police. I mean, the one I hit, the original checkerboard one that I had made years and years and years and years ago. And they replaced, I mean, the other one still plays. But it's just, it was about time. It got more wrecked up and... up in Canada, because I don't even want to go into that. But Hamer made an exact duplicate of it, and sounds the same with bow tie inlays and stuff, pickups all covered. So this is just like the one that was made in 1979, but it was made this past year.
Did you ask Joel Danzig to, copy exact specs from old Explorers?
Yeah, well, of course. They made it exact. If you go to Rick's Picks or go to the... To the exhibition, you'll see, and it's got people. It's got Todd Rundgren and Joe Elliott Slash and Chad Smith from Chili Peppers, and I don't know, just tons of people are playing it, and it's pretty cool, because they're all playing. Oh, Dave Grohl plays it. He took it up on stage in Milwaukee, played it, and they all said kind things, and you'll see that the guitar plays itself, and plays great. But I was just, after getting it smashed, I didn't get it back for quite a while. It didn't get smashed, but it still plays great. I mean, I wish I had the other one out here, but it's in the museum right now. And this one, at the time when I had this made, I mean, it's supposed to be black and white, it's a little yellowed, but it's got every pick design I've ever made at that time, all the graphics from my picks. And I had them made... Cool.
That's awesome. Cool. That's way cool.
And there's my name up at the top, just in case I forget during the show.
But he plays this one on... He used to play it on Surrender, but he's been playing the Five Neck recently on Surrender. So I'll have it for good night after we take the Five Neck off and he uses this one. He uses this one on Dream Police most of the time.
The checkerboard one, okay.
Yeah. And we chunk out a bunch of picks and... And during Surrender, he'll throw out the album cover, which is one of their old albums covers. And this is classic. Nice. They actually buried him. I said, what did they do? Just put him like, no, they dug a complete hole and he's in the hole. So, yeah.
Here's another one that's remained for me. This was made for the Rockford album. This one actually sounds really good too. It's got the graphic from the Rockford album, and it's a cool box guitar. I've actually had Conan O'Brien played this a number of times, and I played, you know, I played it quite a bit. It looks like a Bo Diddley kind of, you know, with a square box and all that stuff, but it actually sounds terrific. And I thought, you know, I wasn't sure that it would, but it does. Normandy guitar. They made it for me. I wanted it with a real Bigsby on it, and I'm just like, it looks pretty. I don't know. I may drive it out of here later tonight.
What does he use, the Normandy?
He hasn't used this one a whole lot. He'll probably, you know, if the True Sard, he plays it on Don't Be Cruel. But so if I ever pop the string, I would have this one ready to go. But yeah, it's a sweet guitar. And they have a unique sound. They definitely, the metal adds to more of a like a high-endy, twangy sound.
James Troussart made this one for me, and because usually they have ebony necks. I actually have about three or four. And I said, I want the neck, the fingerboard to be the same as the wrist. He said, oh, I can't do that. I said, look, you can do all this. He's French. That was my fake French answer. I said, look, you can do all the other stuff. Do it. So he did it.
Does it have a much brighter sound with the metal fretboard?
It sounds like it's just a more brittle or more, you know, more metallic sound.
Yeah.
But not heavy metal metallic.
Do you know if those TV Jones pickups are classics or which model specifically they are?
You can take your screwdriver and find out. I don't know. This is the original man. This one was made in 1977 or 78. This is the first electric mandocello that's ever made. And made it for me because there was they had none. On our first album, we had a song called Mandocello, and then Heaven Tonight we did with a mandocello, and then we did another album with I can't remember what the song was, but Raga we had was called, and it's such a cool sounding thing. It's tuned C, G, D, A with double strings.
Is this the exact guitar you used on Heaven Tonight and stuff?
Yeah, in the studio. On the first album, on the original, the mandocello song, I used the regular 1910 Gibson mandocello, you know, made by old people. But I just love how it plays. I mean, you got to learn how to, you know, do the fingerings and find your. I make up my own chords because I'm kind of self-taught anyhow. What is this chord? Well, I know a G, a D, an A, and C, and B flat, blah, 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 all that stuff. But when it gets more complicated and stuff.
No, it sounds good.
Yeah, there you go. Billy Bow. I think it's a, you know, that's what it's called, I think. And it sounds good. I use this when we do a song called I Know What I Want. It's got a good Malcolm Young kind of.
I know what I want and I know how to get it.
There you go. You know
from
what
you.
Song. What am I telling you?
I didn't mean you. You know.
Yeah, it's a very nice guitar. A little floating bridge going.
Super
on.
Light too.
It's very light. It feels like it's got some hollowness to it, or it's a light wood.
All right, here's one of my Explorers, and I have three of them, and they're good guitars. They're neat. I'm kind of known for how they look, and ain't it pretty?
Did it used to have a Maestro on there or something?
It used to have a Bigsby, or a little whammy Bigsby on it. Okay. Or Maestro. I don't know. I didn't take it off or put it on. It was done for me. And it sounds cool. I mean, I love how the pegs are all deteriorating and looking like H-E double hockey sticks.
He'll put Explorer. I want Explorer on particular songs, and I'll just trade it up with this and the Disco. I basically use these on particular songs. The checks and the picks. I'll use those on particular songs. These kind of vary a little bit.
So it looks like this is one of those guitars that's an example of where he took off the cover for a little more high-end bite or something.
Exactly, yes. It does have a little bit more of a bite to it. But, he uses a lot of Vs, but not on this run.
Now, the next guitar that we're going to see here is one that you're infamous for.
I'll let it speak for itself.
Now,
you explain it, because I can't.
Of course, five neck, you have three of these, right?
Yeah, I have three. I have an orange one, which was the first one. And this was the second one. The second one, I had them. The first one had pegs that went out like this. And it was kind of your hands caught in here. So I said, make this one with violin or banjo tuning pegs. And so this has got banjo tuning pegs on it.
Do you remember roughly what year you had this one made?
You can look it up.
Now, what this makes me think of is, you know, back on the Live at Budokan album.
Have you ever
played it? Earlier, Rocky let me try it on. I hope you don't mind.
Oh, yeah. Well, let's see. The last guy that tried it on was Johnny Depp. Johnny Depp. It's a Hollywood Bowl. I said, yeah, he comes over. He was over on the side of the stage. He said, oh, Rick, it's an honor to meet you. And I said, who are you?
It's a challenge to tune this thing because you have... I have to set it on a stool, and you got obviously 12 strings here, which the rotating switch. You got 5 position pole, which corresponds to each one of those guys, and he plays this one the most. I rarely tune this one. I tune it every once in a while. He's never played it. Every occasion he'll play the fourth neck, but he mostly sticks with the second neck. He varies. He jumps around next. This is an interesting sound because it's his sound is pretty distorted. So 12 string, it gives you a unique sound.
Yeah.
Very unique sound. Obviously, this one's got a whammy bar, and the fretless is a challenge to play because you got to reach all the way down there. And tuning it's But it's pretty heavy. I don't know how much it weighs. I want to weigh it. I don't have the specs on it, but I'd like to, because you felt it. You put it on. Obviously, I got a tune. If you got 15 songs in it, I got 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, and 20. I got 20 guitars to tune during the show.
Some of the images that stand out in my memory the most from a kid when I had your albums is, you know, Live at Budokan, you would have like 3 guitars on, like a Strat, an Explorer,
that's
and something
ridiculous.
Else.
This
was made to solve that, right?
Yeah, this is made to make me look normal.
All right.
It was something I liked. The idea was good. You should go to Rick's Picks and you'll find out more.
Cool. Do you want to talk about your amps?
No. I don't know.
Come on, please.
Oh, these Fuchs. I thought that was a K when I bought it.
That's the only reason.
Yeah, and then these are deluxe reverbs that I have in here. I have the guts in here, and these were made by Paul Rivera, actually. If you look at it, it has a fat and thin switch on it with a heavier duty transform in it and a master volume, which the normal deluxes didn't have. And they put a bigger speaker, and I used to use the bigger speaker, but now I have an ISO box that's back over in there with a microphone in it, and it gets, you know, consistent sound.
Now, do you know?
You get a consistent sound there, and then I also mic up here with the, just more 12s, so I get a punchier sound out here, and then I get the other sound that I've had since 77.
The deluxe reverbs?
Deluxe. I had 6 of them made for me.
Now, Paul Rivera designed deluxe reverb 2s for Fender in the early 80s. Is that the circuit that you're using?
I don't know. It was because I had it made before he did it. He did them as for musicians, for like studio guys, basically. And I heard one. I said, I got to have one. So I said, I better have 2. And I better have 6. So I had 6 made for me.
How much of the sound you get out of the deluxe is it mostly for a clean sound or sort of early breakup?
It's the tone I like. You know, I don't use any pedals. I have a wah pedal, but I don't really use any pedals. So it's like, you know, I get all the harmonics and this and that and the feedback and the sustain. That's all real.
Yeah, so a lot of people like a deluxe reverb for a clean sound, but you're getting some of your grit from that,
well,
too.
That's why I've got the master volume, so I can sound, get a good sound at a low volume or a high volume. It's like it sings.
And you've always got the Fuchs amps on, too.
Yeah, well, the Fuchs that I use for punches the front here out of the Gibson cabinets. And I've had extra stuff, you know, but we have so much gear. This is what we've got out here right now.
Now, speaking, you just motioned that. We didn't see this. Oh, well, so you want to tell us about that's a 58 Les Paul?
Yeah, it's nice and pretty. It's never been played much. It's not relic. That's a real relic.
How long have you had that?
I had that maybe 15 years. I actually bought that one at George Groom's. It was up on the wall. And once again, it's like... Most people, that looks too crummy. I was just drawn to it. I just went right to it, and I said, make me a deal.
Rocky was talking earlier about on some of your guitars, you take the nickel covers off the pickups.
Yeah, that's an old trick.
You know, just to get more high-end bite and stuff?
Just to look cool. Who cares? What it does. I'm not a techno guy. I'm really not. I'm just like, I know what I like, and it's like, and I go to people that are professionals and know what that is. And a lot of people tell me, well, here's what you need. You know, it's like, and every amp sounds great in any room usually, but you know, the real test is, you know, being out here all the time, and I can go from here to the studio and I know what I'm getting.
Back on the Fuchs a little bit. What?
Yeah,
what?
Nice to me. They actually made. They copied the heads to match my speaker cabinets that Gibson actually made for me. And so I've got, because I started up getting those. I think they're called Blues something or Blues Magoos. I don't know what they're called. Something Blue something. And because I liked it, it was 212, and that's what this is. And then I said, well, I like them, but I want them to be checkerboard. You know, so they always freak out when I walk in the building. They made it. I actually had the Gibson heads, I liked what I've got here.
What drew you to Fuchs amps in the first place?
They called me up. And I think one of the guys that worked for me years ago said, hey, you got to try these out. And so I tried it out, you know, because I've got Marshalls, I got this, I got that, you know, I got Sound City, I've got 65, I got some of those. They made checkerboard stuff for me. I've got a lot of amps, so it's like I'm not running out yet.
I'm glad you mentioned the Sound City, because we Facebooked before we came out to say, you know, what do you guys want us to ask Rick Nielsen and the guys? They wanted to know if you still had those.
Yeah, I bought them. I bought, I couldn't afford Marshalls at the time, so I bought about 4 or 6 stacks of Sound City, because I could get the same amount, you know, head, 2 bottoms. I could get 2 for the price of 1. And that was in 68. I bought them in England and had them shipped over, and I've still got them all. I think the heads are mostly gone, but the cabinets, I still have those. Actually, some of those are at Rick's Picks. Some of those are in our warehouse.
One of the other questions people wanted us to ask you was, how many guitars do you have, and are you still
still collect? Yes, I still collect, and I've got about 400 something like that right now. I was trying to get down to about 100, but then it's like, yeah, I can't.
Couldn't get the monkey off your back.
Well, no, because you know it's like there's certain ones like, you know, this one I have a hard time. I was never a great. I'm a buyer. I buy stuff that I like. I usually don't buy the real pristine stuff because it costs too much and it doesn't have the mojo of the stuff that's been used. You know, it's like I'm a musician, so it's like, I'm supposed to be broke.
Do you find your taste evolving at all when you're buying stuff?
There's stuff that I never knew about. You know, that was way before the internet and before we were well-known enough where I could go places. I mean, you know, I knew all the Midwest, you know, Iowa and Nebraska and Wisconsin and Minnesota, Illinois, Indiana, down to, those kind of areas. And I knew every music store because I used to go to them all the time. I mean, I picked up cases and guitar parts and, you know, this one and that one. Back in the day, people used to just trade in stuff. They didn't keep stuff. Nobody did. And guitars weren't called vintage. They were called used.
Yeah. Is there anything specific you're looking for right now?
No. I like even though I don't have any are the designs of the Vandre guitars, an Italian crazy guy who was like Salvador Dali of the guitar business. But they were so rare and so whatever, and they're kind of like works of art, and I don't know that they actually play that great, but they're cool looking. And I've got some Hoyers, I got some of those. There's certain models that I think are cool. I've owned 2,000 different things, so it's like I'm not really looking for anything, you know.
But you're ready to be seduced by something.
Yeah, well, you know, let's see, this past year, I bought a number of things. I didn't have a lot of SGs. Now I've got about 10 of them, all from the 60s, and 60s. And I got a couple of this guitar of the month when Gibson was doing that. I used to buy the stuff that I liked. I got some interesting stuff. I have 2 of the Les Paul Carina tribute with the V head on it. the split head. I mean, and I got number 54 and number 55. I just liked it. And I had to get them, and they're cool. The only problem is it's got the three pickups in it. But three pickups I always had trouble with. I like the Les Paul Customs. You know, the necks were flat, and the third pickup in the middle there always bugged me. So I was never a big fan of that. And I still have my 55 Les Paul, my gold top, that I bought for $65. I still have it, and that's at the museum also. That's a cool one.
So if anyone knows about any Vandres or Hoyers, get in touch with Rick.
Yes! Don't charge me too much.
All right, thanks, man. All right, we appreciate you taking time with us. Have a great show.
All right, enjoy it. Well, you're like a weirdo. You never speak over here.
I'm Sean Hammond. Thanks for watching PremierGuitar.com.